I want to read to you from the book of 1 Samuel, the story of Hannah. And I'm watching my clock, and for all of you who are timing me, I will be very diligent in giving you a Mother's Day present that I hope you enjoy. So, but first, let me read to you the story of Hannah here, because we really need to find out her story. And it begins in 1 Samuel chapter 1. There was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Yeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuf, an Ephrathite. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion, because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year, as often as she went up to the house of the Lord. She used to provoke her. Therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep, and why do you not eat, and why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." And she continued praying before the Lord. Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, "How long will you go on being drunk? Put away your wine from you." But Hannah answered, "No, my lord, I am a woman troubled in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your eyes." Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel. For she said, "I have asked for him from the Lord." And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. Now I want to give you a little background here about some of the customs going on in that day. I know Elkanah and others have been talked badly about as being polygamist, and yes, they did take more wives, and Jesus did say, as it was in the beginning in Mark when he was talking to the Sadducees and Pharisees, it's been God's plan and purpose for one man, one woman from the beginning. And there were societal customs in here, and what apparently had happened within this family is that when it talked about the one and then the second or the other, as the Bible talks about here, Hannah was Elkanah's first wife, and they had been together and he loved her dearly. But societal custom allowed that if a male heir was not produced within a certain amount of time, then the man could seek a second wife for the purpose of producing a male child that would carry on his family name and would receive his property and inheritance and all of those kinds of things. That was the societal custom. It was not the way God had intended it to, but this man followed custom and he took in a second wife, Peninnah, who began to bear children. Now, there was friction that developed within the household, very similar to what you see in the story of Abraham and Sarah, and when Hagar, the Egyptian handmaid of Sarah, very similar situation. God had promised a son to Abraham, if you remember. When that son did not appear, then Sarah told Abraham, well, maybe through Hagar your heir will be produced. Very similar situation there, the cultures of that day. But as in this, the same case in Abraham's household, Hagar and Sarah did not get along after this, and there was jealousy. The same kind of thing is going on here in the household of Elkanah. We see that he's a very religious man, a very devoted man. He goes up and he makes the sacrifices yearly, the scripture says. So this was a very devout household, a very devout man, living in the customs of the world at that particular time in which he lived. But as I said, that brought friction within the home. And Peninnah, because she could bear children, she felt she was more blessed, even though I'm sure that she saw that Hannah was the favored one of Elkanah. And so that brought that friction that had happened there. And so in that particular time, in that particular culture, it was a fulfillment of a woman's purpose to produce especially a male heir so that the name of the family could go on. And so when Hannah felt that she had failed, then she became deeply troubled in her heart. And especially it added insult to injury when Elkanah felt the need to bring in another woman into the household. And then rubbing salt into an ever deepening and enlarging wound, Peninnah started producing children, started having children. And so it's left Hannah in a very troubled state, very deep depression, and Peninnah took advantage of that, causing friction within the home out of jealousy and anger. And so that's the background for this. And so what we find here in Hannah, she goes to the temple, she pours out her heart to God, and God favors her with the son Samuel. The core of this, I don't want anybody to miss, the core of this is that God needed a Samuel, and Hannah was the one that he chose to have Samuel. The same as God chose Mary to be the mother of Jesus. God used normal human reproduction in the case of Samuel. Of course, it was divine in the case of Jesus being born. But a very similar situation here. Also in the chosen seed of Abraham, you have that same type of purpose and will of God, where it was going to be through Sarah where that seed was going to come, not through Hagar. It was going to be through Sarah. And so here God had chosen Hannah to bring Samuel into the world, and Samuel was going to be used mightily in the nation of Israel. But some of the things that we can learn from Hannah here is that we need to give your children to God in love. So moms, learn how to give your children to God in love. The thought for today is seeing our children as God's gifts makes it easier to give them back to Him. Seeing our children as God's gifts makes it easier to give them back to Him. And notice I said give them back to Him, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Now, how did Hannah exemplify the kind of love that I'm hoping that you moms will pick up on here, and that you're probably already, most of you are. But this kind of love here that I'm speaking about is the kind of love that leads to trust. Now, a lot of us can say that we love God, but do we really trust God? Do our actions, do our lives lived out in the profession of our love for God, do the actions of our lives back up what our lips are speaking? Yes, I love God, but can we say that we trust Him? Well, what do we mean? Well, how easy is it to say, Father, Thy will be done, when it's your child, when it's your husband, when it's your cherished one lying on that bed of illness. Of course, all of us know that we want our loved one to be healed. We want our loved one to be strengthened. We want our loved one to be with us. But none of us know the purpose and will of God in these matters of life and death. I told you the story of a session member that was at the other church where Mary and I came from, and he had a very similar story as this. His wife was gravely ill one time, and it was touch and go whether she would recover or not. And he gave a testimony of faith that he prayed by her bedside. And he told us, he said, it puts a whole different take, a whole different attitude on that little phrase, "Father, thy will be done," when it's your wife lying there. And so here is Hannah going to the Father. She goes directly to the temple. She wanted to be closer to God. And so Hannah's love for God showed that she trusted Him there, because she came to Him and she poured out her heart to Him, and she trusted that God would hear her. And she was coming to Him as a mother whose heart was aching. She felt like she had failed her husband. She felt like she had failed God. She felt like she had just made a mess of her life, and she had her rival there that lived within the household that kept just insulting her and chastising her, and through jealousy just made her life miserable. And so she was a woman here that needed God's grace. And she made a promise to God that, "God, if you would give me a child, that I will give him back to you and he will serve you all of his life." Now, when she made that promise, she had not had a child. And she didn't know if she was going to have a child. But she made a promise to God that, "God, if you will give me a child, I will give him back to you so that he may serve you all of his life." Now, let me go on just a little rabbit trail here. I need to not lose this particular moment to remind you of something. God brings circumstances into our lives that lead us to pray the prayer that God wants us to pray, in order for Him to release to us the blessings that He had already planned to give us. Now, that's a little confusing. Let me take you back to Ezekiel 36. Again, here's the prophet. Israel had been taken out of their home country. The invading armies had came and they had gone into exile as punishment for their unfaithfulness. God had already given them a promise in Jeremiah 29:11. Yes, that Jeremiah 29:11 that most of us have in our home somewhere. "These are the plans I have for you." And so God's plans for Israel was to bless them, not to annihilate them, but to bless them. So God had already purposed that He was going to bless them. But then later on, Ezekiel hears God's words and records them. And God says this in Ezekiel 36:37. "Thus says the Lord God, this also I will let," underline that, "this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them, to increase their people like a flock." It was God's desire to bless Israel, but He wanted them to ask. And I believe in the gospel according to Marty that God brings us into places in our life where we are led, where we are, you could almost say, forced to pray the prayer that we need to pray in order for God to release the blessings that He had already purposed to give to us. But He wants us to ask. And so here was Hannah that God had chosen. And she was going to be the mother of the leader of Israel for a period of time. God was going to use him mightily. But He wanted Hannah to pray the prayer. If Hannah had given birth to Samuel without that promise, "I'm going to give him to the temple," then that wasn't God's design for Samuel's life. And so that prayer God wanted. Now, don't ask me why God is like that. But God, in Scripture, wants us to pray. And I think that He puts us into situations where those kinds of prayers come out of us that match the will that He has already designed for us and that we ask for those things that he wants to give to us, but he wants us to ask. So just a little rabbit trail there. Second thing that I want you to hear this day as we celebrate our mothers is that give your children to God in faith. So we give our children to God in love. It was the love within Hannah's heart that led her to pray this prayer, and it was the love for God that and for this child that she wanted to not only praise her God for giving her this child, but she also wanted this child to grow up in that care of God. And so there was love within her heart there. And so the second thing is, as I said, give your children to God in faith. Hannah went there into that temple, and know that it was customary. You'd go through the priest. The priest would offer sacrifices and various things. But here you see a woman going to the house of God and praying. Now, she prayed in silence. She didn't stand there and proclaim at the height of her lung. But you heard what I read to you, that she was praying there. Her heart was being poured out to God, but her lips were moving. She wasn't making an audible prayer, but her heart was deeply involved in praying to God, because it was her heart's desire that she have this child, and she made that vow to the Lord. Now, moms, we promise a lot of things to God. And in our desperation, it's easy to promise something that we don't possess. There was a story told of a farmer and his pastor. And the pastor wanted to go see the farmer. Though the pastor knew that the farmer needed to grow a little bit in his faith. And so he went to see the farmer. And he found the farmer over by his pig pen. And so when the pastor went over and he talked to the farmer, he said, exchanged pleasantries for a little bit. And the pastor thought he'd take advantage of this moment to maybe have the farmer do a little self-reflection. And so the pastor says, "Brother Monroe," said, "if you had 40 hogs, would you give four of them to the Lord?" "Oh yes, pastor, if I had 40 hogs, I most assuredly would give four of them to the Lord." "Well, Brother Monroe, if you had 30 hogs, would you give three of them to the Lord?" "Oh, yes, pastor, if I had 30 hogs, for sure I'd give three of them to the Lord." "Well, Brother Monroe, if you had 20 hogs, would you give two of them to the Lord? Just two?" "Oh, yes, pastor, if I had 20 hogs, I most assuredly and gladly would give two of them to the Lord." The pastor looked out over the pig pen there. He said, "Brother Monroe, if you have 10 hogs, would you give one of them to the Lord?" And the farmer looked at his hogs and he said, "Now, pastor, that's not a fair question. You see, I got 10 hogs out there." And so now, see, it's easy to promise things that we don't have. If I had $1 million, I most assuredly would give half of it to all the charities in the world. I'd buy Bibles for everybody in the world, and I'd be sure that the gospel was proclaimed and all of these kind of, and maybe you would. But moms, when you go to the Lord and you pour out your heart for your children, maybe you've been tempted to make a vow. "Father, if you'll do this, I'll be sure that my child does that. Or I'll be sure that I do this." Or will you follow through on the promises that you make to God? It may not be concerning your children. But as we'll see in just a moment here, God's design for you, mom, is not ultimately to be a mother, but is to be close to Him. And so those things that we promise Him, are you faithful to follow through? Hannah was. She gave birth to her first child. Her first child. She wasn't promised anymore. There's no record here of God saying, "I'm going to give you more now, so it's okay to give Samuel to me, because you'll have more children." Now, God did give her more children because she was sacrificially giving over to God Samuel. God did bless her with more children. But there was no promise of that when Hannah gave Samuel to Eli, the priest, gave him to God. So moms, be faithful in the things that you promise to God. And I'll go a step further. Be faithful in the things you promise to your children. Because what you're doing is setting an example for your children by how you interact with them. If you promise them the world just to get them to be quiet, they're going to remember that. I've got a couple of grandchildren who will hold their mother to her feet to the fire because she said she might even just propose something. Well, I thought you said. So moms, be faithful to God and be faithful in the promises that you make to Him. And also be faithful to your children because you're leading and teaching them by how you live your life. And then lastly here, give your children to God in hope. So Hannah gave Samuel to God in love. She gave Samuel to God in faith. And now she gave Samuel to God in hope. See, her hope was fulfilled by the Lord with the birth of Samuel. Children are our hope. They fill our lives with many roles. Sometimes they make us cry out of joy and disappointment. Sometimes they make us laugh. Sometimes they make us just as proud as we can be. And sometimes the disappointment and the pride falls right behind each other. Moms, you know what I mean. We can be so proud of what our children accomplish, and then right away, boom, this is what happens. But they're our children, and we love them, and I know that you do. And sometimes parents use their children in ways that children were not meant to be used. And what I mean by that is that sometimes a parent can be deceived into thinking, well, this child now is my second chance at life, and so all of the things that I did wrong in my life, I'm going to make this child do right. So that by this child, I can make up for all the mistakes that happened to me. And that's not the way that you raise your children. Not under those kinds of expectations. Within the last decade or so, we've coined the term helicopter parents. You know, those ones that are always hovering around their children. You know, they can't do anything for themselves. We're going to do this, we're going to do that. They build their children up to unreasonable expectations of themselves because everything that their child does is great and wonderful, and you're the best in the world at all of these kinds of things. I'm not saying tear your children down, but I'm asking you to love them and to teach them and to live your life before them in a way that makes God look good. With the love that you have for God, the faith that you have for God, the hope that you have for God. When you bring your child to be baptized, as is our tradition in the PCA, as you bring your children for baptism, infant baptism, is brought in hope. Hope that God will fulfill His promises to His people by reaching out to this child at some point in that child's life and bringing that child into the family of God. And so that baptism is done with hope. We hope, and that hope is not like, oh, I hope. That hope is an expectation that God will act in His time according to His promises. With the parents in the home doing their part to live a life of example in front of those children, to allow God's name to be spoken freely within that household, to live a life in front of those children that fits the pattern of behavior that God would have His people to live. And that speaks right into the hearts of those children. And I know in some homes there's children that might have to teach the parent a thing or two. We live in a fallen world. But parents, live your life in front of your children. Mom, live your life in front of... There's a huge impact that you make on your children that you may even be unaware of. But they watch, they listen. And by watching and listening, they learn. We all want our children to be young men and women of God, young men and women who know how to take care of themselves in a very cruel world, young men and women who know how to handle disappointment, who know how to handle failure, because at some point in our lives, all of us will fail. And then what happens after you fail? Do we know how to get back up? Do we know how to come back at life? Or do we just want to blame others and to, as we say, drown in our sorrow? Teach your children how to meet life by how you meet life. Let them see in your life the encouraging hope of knowing that you have entrusted to God your life and that you trust Him in your love. The ultimate goal, as I said, of being a parent, of being a mom, is not giving birth to children, is not having perfect children. The ultimate goal, parent, mom, that this is your day, the ultimate goal is for you to become closer to Christ. That's the ultimate goal for all of us. If each of us, fathers and mothers, become closer to Christ, then by becoming closer to Him, then all the other areas of our life will get better. That is a promise that God has made. It may not take away all of your problems. It won't take away all of your problems. But if we get closer to Him, we'll know better how to deal with the stuff of life that surrounds us. And He has promised to give us a peace of knowing that we are in relationship with Him. And that's what God wants for all of us. Hannah showed us ways, moms, that we can now approach God where we don't know what the future is. We don't know what the future holds. But we stand faithful to give to God those things that we have promised Him. If you have put your trust in Christ, you have come to Him seeking forgiveness, you've promised, you've given yourself to Him. And so are you living your life in a way that says, God, I trust You with my life. I trust You with my children. I trust You in those areas where I don't know what's behind that door. But I trust You, Father, to know what's behind that door. And that no matter what it is when I open it, You're going to be there with me. Sometimes it's to walk through it with me. Sometimes it's to keep me from it. Sometimes it's to carry me through it when I can't do it on my own. But to have that kind of trust that comes out of a heart of love, that is what God wants from all of us. And that is what I ask that you receive this day, moms, the blessings of the kingdom of God, to fill your heart with love, that surrounds you with the love of your children, that surrounds you with the love of your family, and that God will bless you as He blessed Hannah. He didn't reward her faithfulness, but He blessed her because she trusted Him with the very precious gift that He had given to her. Those children that surround you this day, whether it's through FaceTime or whether they're in your presence, those children are gifts of God. And so when we see them as God's gifts, it makes it easier on us to give them back to Him, as Hannah did. You've given Samuel to me, and so I give him back to you. Doesn't mean that we deliver your children to the doorsteps of the church, but in your heart you're saying, Father, take this life, this young life that You've allowed me to give life to. Take this young life, Father. I entrust this young life to You. And I'm going to do my part to walk in a way that this young life can see You, Father, in me. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank You this day for the gift of parents, the gift of mothers. And so, Father, I ask that you will bless them especially. Mothers' hearts are broken often. And so, Father, we ask that you will bring this comforting love of your precious Spirit to them this day. May they receive your love. And may, Father, this day be a day of joy for them. I pray too, Father, for all of us, that we can see in the life of Anna the life of love and faith and trust that all of us need to live. If we're going to live a life of example, not only in front of our children, but in front of others, so that they can see you working in and through us. Father, we pray this prayer this day in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And now may the love of the Father in heaven, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the fellowship of their eternal Holy Spirit go with you. And in that Holy Trinity, moms and dads and others, I pray that you find your peace. Amen.